Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark on the Age of Vision radio show. Today is March 25th. I cannot believe it. It is normally call-in Fridays, but on Wednesday I was meant to interview Patty Amino, who, as I suspected, was extremely occupied. We had arranged to have an interview on Wednesday, and she was in the middle of a conversation with a reporter that she could not end. So when I called her on Wednesday after the show, she agreed to do today's show. So I decided that I would just interview her today. And it's kind of been an interesting little bit getting on up, because when I turned on my computer shortly before the show, Skype was removed from my main computer, so I hope that the audio and everything sounds fine. I am calling you from the Skype venue on my laptop. So, last night I spent the night uploading some videos about our 311 experience, and a video that I made on my own, a little opinion video. And I'm telling you what, the fascism in this country does not stop. It is relentless when it comes to nuclear. But let me get right to our guest. Patty, are you still with us?
I am still with you, Lonnie. How are you today?
I am. That was kind of a little bit shaking, but I'm okay, to be honest. It's happened one other time.
I'd like to send greetings and love out to all the activists everywhere, and everybody like yourself and Libby Halevi, and everybody who's doing what mainstream media is not doing, and that is getting the information out and disseminating it to the public. You don't know what an enormous resource you all are.
Well, thank you for saying that, because I actually don't understand how many people hear this. We've attempted on UCY.TV, I have, to figure it out, but it's quite difficult to figure out how many people are listening, because they're not really keeping track of alternative media. So it's just sort of out there. And my goal, the reason I do this, is to give people the courage to do it themselves, because we are all being affected. You know?
We certainly are, in every aspect of our lives. From the breathing, to the water, to the food that we eat. And, it's a state of basically where nuclear is consuming us. And I mean literally consuming us.
Right.
But go ahead.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. It is literally consuming us. That's why we're doing this. I mean, how many years have you spent as an activist?
It's been 27 years this past December.
Now, when you started this journey, did you think that you were an activist? Like, did you consider yourself, hey, I'm an activist? Like, this is the thing I think most people don't understand, Patty, is activism is not about, oh, I'm going to go out and change the world. Most of the time, it's about protecting our own little sphere of the world, our family, our friends, our neighborhoods, our creeks, our rivers. This is what's happened in St. Louis.
You know, it is all about protection. And, you know, if people had the mindset, you know, and I gave really, not really a good analogy, but if you have a home invasion, okay, somebody comes into your home and, you know, they mean to do you and your family harm, you know, parents are going to, number one, fight to the death to protect their children. And this is something that's tangible. You can see it. You know the consequences. You can feel it. But here's the other side of the coin, and that is all things nuclear. You cannot see it.
Right.
You can't feel it unless you have cancer. And you can't taste it. You can't do any of these things. But make no mistake, it has invaded your home. It has invaded, you know, your place around, and it has been attacking. So what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and just say, oh, such is life? You know, well, we have to die from something. I'm sorry. It's about quality of life. Yes, we're all going to die. But what about your quality of life? What about, you know, having your life being extended as far as possible, especially in this day and age with all the advances in medicine? You know, those are the things that we should be seeking, not counting the number of cancers and the number of lost acres due to nuclear. It's a madhouse.
Yeah, it is actually a madhouse, and what's incredibly in it, you know, people don't care. On my 311 video that I uploaded last night, we were standing in front of the library on 311. There were five people. We were attempting to hand out brochures, and a lot of people just said, no, thanks, I'd rather not know. Literally said that to us. It was so shocking to me. So I thank you for the work that you do. This is the conversation that I think we need to have, is like, you've been doing this for a long time. So why do you think that people are, I mean, you've come across a lot of things. This is not new to you. You rattle off jargon like it's, you know, everybody's words. You know what I mean? But the question is, how do we, Is there any kidding our elected officials? Am I being dense by saying contact your elected officials? I've had so many people email me and say, look, it's very sweet of you to be concerned about everything and to think that our elected officials will do something, but they're really just not going to do anything.
One of the drawbacks that has happened in our country, and it's been post-Vietnam, has been a elimination of the threads to the common man. We had the draft, for example, and I participated in 1969, in October 1969, at a march to end that war down in Washington, D.C. And there was a thread to the common man. You didn't care whose hand you were holding, what color they were, what religion they were. You were on the same page. And so, you know, in present day, the draft has been no more, even though young men still have to register for selective services. Then we had the busting up of unions in this country. And so the threat to the common man has been really disintegrated, so much so that even news media, mainstream news media, is more entertainment than it is on the premise of getting the news to the people. What the environmental arena really needs are leaders. And I'm talking about leaders that can collectively get the people in. And one of the things that I have seen, I have dreamed about, is a massive march on D.C. And just to stop this insane, and it's nothing else, it's nothing other than a insane pattern of behavior. You know, there's been TMI, there's been Chernobyl, there's Fukushima, our reactors in this country are disintegrating. You have
right before our very eyes fires. How many fires?
And we have Indian Point that's been leaking. Turkey Point down in Miami has been leaking. I mean, they are crumbling.
Right.
And there's been activists such as Arnie Gunderson who has come out and stated that several of these reactors in this country, which are the same as the ones that were in Fukushima with this faulty design, are a ticking time bomb here. Now, you take that and you take the national security risks of enemies to this nation, and I don't know why the private corporations that are running these nuclear reactors are still allowed to have their private security guards, some of which have been videotaped asleep at the main entrance gate, such as several videos that have been on YouTube.
Honestly, you don't know why. For real, you do know why. This is intentional. This is an assault on the people of the world, and especially on
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark, and I hope I'm back on the air. I was kicked off the air. None of my computers worked, and my laptop and my PC had to be restarted. Hold on one second.
I am plugging in my headset. That was kind of nerve-wracking. I hope that I'm back on. We were in the middle of a conversation with Patty Amino, who I am going to attempt to call again. So let's see if that works. I'm going to give her a call. I just got off the phone with her and told her. She said to me, well, are you surprised? And I said, I guess. But it was shocking, I have to say. I got to put my courage feet on for this one. That is for sure. You know, I guess it's really the real N-word, right? So let me get her number dialed up here. Well, I guess this is not call-in Friday, but it's kind of an interesting day because as I'm on the air, we're getting kicked off of Skype and off of actually the entire network. My computer, my internet actually went down, and I, like, immediately on both my computers. So that was kind of a shock. Let's see if I can add Patty back into this call, and we'll just, perseverance brings success. Isn't that what we were just talking about? Perseverance brings success. So,
hello.
Hey, Patty, this is Lonnie again. Welcome back to UCY.TV radio, where we were rattling the cage, I guess, a bit too much.
Well, so, you know, cages are meant to be rattled.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess, you know what? I am actually, that did kind of rattle me, but you know what? It inspires me to actually keep on, because if we're doing that, this is how quickly the NSA, when people think it does not matter what our government does, and if they think we're, quote, conspiracy theorists, they need to think again. Because we were talking about the N-word. And in fact, this is a peculiar thing. Last night I uploaded videos, as I mentioned earlier in this conversation, on YouTube. I unusually did it from my working PC because I was up late working last night. And I've been wanting to get these videos from 3:11 up. And I'm like, I'll just do them while I'm finishing. I can upload it while I'm finishing here. I normally do it from my laptop. You know why I do it from my laptop? Because I don't want the NSA to connect my computer with this, with my main PC. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just not something I want. I know they immediately do it.
Are you on the same, is your laptop and your main PC on the same server?
Yes, on the same.
Oh, well.
That doesn't matter.
I probably not.
I'm so dense. I don't know. I'm just so sick of this. This is what I mean. They're killing us, and we can't even complain about it. Our children are dying. People look at the women of St. Louis as if they're just being a pain in the ass. I mean, I'm sick of people acting like, oh, well, you know, they're just asking for too much. They want too much money to remediate St. Louis. Or the microencephaly denial up in Washington State is outrageous.
The people of St. Louis area down there in the course of the landfill area, I think they're being played like a $2 violin by just about every key player that's been involved. And I don't necessarily mean that in singular tone, but in entity level as well, from the EPA. Let me let this pass. I got a beep.
Oh, okay. We can hear you.
I hate it when that happens.
That's all right.
But I think they're being played like a $2 violin. And, you know, I have faith in our country, absolute faith in our country. And our country is our Constitution. And, you know, a lot of people fail to know or even understand or have knowledge of the preamble to that Constitution. And that preamble sets out the definitions of to the Bill of Rights.
Yeah,
and so, you know, we have a voice, and that is why the First Amendment is the First Amendment. Number one. Number two, with respect, going back to Westlake down there, I mean, sadly, and it's because I think there could be, and I say could be, a level of desperation that they're going in multi-directional areas, and they're coming up short. And one of the things that I think is seriously detrimental to what they overall, or what I believe that they overall want to see, what I know that I would want to see, and that is to not only stop the exposures to the people there, but to be able to have that land come back for future generations.
That's just such a freaking, I mean, honestly, I have heard people say that, but we don't have the technology to do that.
Yes, we do. The technology, you mean to have the land come back?
The remediation, yes, we can get rid of that radiation that's a bit out there.
Well, we can, we have to put these fires out because we're so fragmented, one site at a time. And this is where the nuclear industry and the regulatory agencies actually have the communities up against the wall, because what is happening and what's been happening is that you have people like myself and, you know, everywhere else that, you know, have to become versed in all things nuclear in order to not only fight the industry, but the regulatory agencies that are supposed to be protecting us.
Well, that's the farce. This is what's come out since Fukushima.
Well, it's in Fukushima. It should have been coming out since TMI.
Yes, I know. But you know what's happened is most people exactly like me, we were too busy piecing our lives together, being, you know, believing that the government was taking care of it. So we chose, like, with Three Mile Island, I thought myself that they, I mean, I was very disconnected. And, you know, ironically, it turns out my sister did move there, and I didn't. And this is how disconnected I was. My sister, who lives very close to there, only recently told me she lives close to there. She never took it seriously. This, yeah, and she has three children who are grandchildren who are autistic. Yeah. You know what I mean? And some of her own children have developmental problems. I mean, it is. This is mission accomplished. I'm telling you, I really am beginning to believe the Nazis have infiltrated our government. Well, honestly, I want to read the preamble. You brought it out, and I want to read it. I just looked it up because people need to hear this. It is very inspiring. But this is what starts our Constitution. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States.
Now, let me stop you. In defense, so you notice how the spelling
of America,
is there.
It says of America.
That's right, the defense of America. That does not mean military defense. In matter of fact,
that's actually true.
You know,
they did not actually set up a permanent military. That was not something. I mean, you know, many people who have really studied history know that Lincoln himself, famously, after several wars, he kept having to start over as a private, got up to certain levels, but at the last war he fought in, he actually was given a horse to go home 200 miles. His horse was lost. He had to walk and take a canoe. I mean, it took him a few months to get home from being in military service.
Well, the word defense in the preamble is spelled D-E-N-C-E, or D-E-N...
F-E-N-C-E.
Yeah, F-E-N-C-E. Okay, now, that spelling, and that's just how they spelled it back then, but the actual meaning that the forefathers meant by that was a defense of every American, in defense of them, regardless of who they were. And, you know, it's because of the citizens' rights. If you're a natural-born citizen or acquiring the citizenship, And of course, you know, it, in present day, that natural born has it's taking new
a
flight.
A beating. It's taking a beating. Well, part of that is because our entire Constitution has taken a beating.
Well, and that's with purpose and design. It's been with design,
yes.
Because that is what is represented by our country. There is nothing else. When I raised my hand three times to lay down my life for our country, as in everybody who has served in the military or has worked in a job sector as an investigator or whatever, where your life is potentially put on the line, you understand quite clearly, okay, what you're swearing your life to, and that is in defense of our Constitution. It's not government. It is our country, our Constitution. That is the defining aspect of our country. Our government is pure politics, and our politics are driven, and it has been driven, by industry, and particularly energy corporations. And, you know, there's been scary things that have been going on. I mean, you know, the consolidation of the energy corporations' powers.
It's called fascism. This is the issue. I mean, I don't mean to be, I'm seriously kind of on the opposite. I mean, I used to believe exactly like you did, Patty, but you know what I think, really? What we have now is two sets of government. One for us who think we have a vote, who think we can contact these people, and then we have the industrial military complex that has its own empire and imperialistic things sucking off the blood of every single nation that it latches onto.
Well,
and we feed it. Our Congress has absolutely no interest in reducing the military, cutting out the NSA, this flather by Monsanto Clinton about we need more step up of more surveillance and we're not going to win this war on quote terror alone. We need to get rid of the CIA to get rid of the terror war to the terrorists, because that's who the terrorists are, in my view. The CIA
is not
a friend.
But now you're going back to the President John F. Kennedy years, where he wanted to splinter that agency into a million pieces.
Well, why did he
and of course, with everything, you know, that was a perfect storm, you know, with the denial of, you know, the advancement of nuclear and the test ban treaty and et cetera. You know, it makes you kind of wonder, it makes you take pause as to, you know, why John Kennedy was assassinated. So, you know, I don't know if I go to the degree of fascism, but, you know, it really gets down to the military-industrial complex and their overwhelming amount of power. You know, it's probably the largest drain on the taxpayers' money, and they justify it because we have enemies out there. And so we have to have perpetual enemies. And so how can you talk out of one side of your mouth for peace? You know, we're gonna promote peace. While at the same time, you're building up, you know, such a huge budget in defense. You know, it makes absolutely no sense. We have a Navy right now that is so equipped that they could counter any type of preemptive strike against the United States from anywhere in the world at sea. Navy, air, land, and sea.
So
you
then,
know,
this is the thing here. You're saying that this is unequivocal. We can do that. We are already in that position. So why do we have our inane congressman beating up the Secretary of Defense because he, quote, broke the law because he hasn't provided them with a clear-cut path to dramatically improve and increase our weaponry? I mean, this is the insanity of it.
That's because you have some businesses out there, some corporations that would like to have some more
money,
taxpayers' money,
right.
Okay, so they can design another aircraft or weapon that never gets off the ground or falters. I mean, we have a lot. I call those the booby enterprise, because, I mean, it's insane.
In the
it's
meantime,
absolutely
we're
insanity.
All dying.
And I'm going to tell you what else. Nuclear. To continue, the mindset of the science has been total brainwashing of the minds of science that are so pro-nuclear. And this has started, and I think the way to reverse this has to be where it started, and it's academia, in the halls of academia, in the rooms, because they have gone in there and they have promoted to these minds that are absorbing this education about everything that's pro-nuke, everything glorious about nuclear. Well, hey, you know, the people were promised back in the 60s, you know, this would be a cheap way for energy. I want somebody to tell me, I just want one person to tell me that their electric bills, because of nuclear power, have maintained or have gone back, that it's so cheap. In fact, we have had increased costs because we are subsidizing these nuclear reactors that are crumbling.
Not only are we subsidizing the nuclear industry, we're subsidizing the medical industry that's profiting off of everybody getting sick. This is a win-win for the people who designed this program. They started the nuclear program and decided to poison the entire country and force us to healthcare for profit in this country. Why do you think we're hanging on to that model? Because people get rich off of it. Because the value in this country is America is a slave nation.
You know, Oak Ridge National Laboratory has a historical library, and it's quite interesting and fascinating. There was a gentleman, I can't remember his first name. His last name was Weinberg. And
Alvin Weinberg.
And he actually was able to carry through nuclear through different areas, different arenas.
Right
into environmental. Oh, this is going to be good for environmental.
That's right.
And what did that mean? It meant an additional drain to taxpayers' coffers. Anytime they came up with a scheme, it meant taxpayers' money. You know, we've been doing everything wrong for so long that we question what is right. You know, we have a right in this country to be safe. We have a right in this country to have a quality of life, a good quality of life. We have a right in this country to speak up. We have a right in this country to assemble. And this goes back to what I was saying before we...
Actually, you know what? We don't consider post the Unpatriot Act. We don't really. This is where the country failed itself. And this is why this is one of the things I tell my senator all the time, we need to revoke the Unpatriot Act. This conversation of we have enemies, there are terrorists that want to kill us. No, there are people that want us to stop occupying their countries and raping them of all their natural resources. That's what we have.
You know, there's been so many things going on in the world that, and you have to wonder what the catalyst is and what the repercussions are. It's a chessboard. And, you know, when you play chess, you have to think at least 4 to 5 moves ahead of time, okay, that this domino is going to go down the road, affect this domino, and it's going to go down. We've been seeing a lot of things to where the chessboard was set up.
A long time ago. That is the interesting thing about the people in charge. They have a very long-term view. Most of us who are living the life have a very short-term view. And that's one of the things about this nuclear fight. When we really look at it, we are in the stew. There is no getting out of it, folks. I personally took up a little journey one time where I was looking on the map of the United States. Where could I go and not be exposed to nuclear radiation?
Right beside Dick Cheney's house.
Right. That's about it. There's very few places in
I
this
just
country.
posted today. I just posted today on my Facebook page, and I got it from the NRC's site, where nuclear reactors are in this country. You really should need to take a look at it,
okay?
Because I'm going to tell you, from the almost the midpoint of the United States and all points east, oh baby, we're loaded.
Yes, I talked about that one morning on this radio show. In fact, I talked to Kay Dry about it of St. Louis because she made the map with all these, she for Beyond Nuclear, she made this map with all these dots on it. And I'm like, well, have you ever counted? She's like, well, actually, we never. East of the Mississippi, there are 51 reactors. I
actually,
count them.
Actually, there's, I think, 100 licensed reactors.
Right.
Currently.
Well, there are 51 sites with 100 licensed reactors. That's right. Over 100 or slightly over 100. And they, I mean, they're all having, I mean, look what happened. If you look up and down the coast, like they're all having little issues, big problems. And if people who think that in Zion, where the Zion nuclear power plant is closed down, it still has problems. That's the issue with all these, even the closed nuclear reactors. They're not resolved issues.
Santa Ofre is another one. Outside of Los Angeles there.
And,
for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to shut it down, you know, it's bad and very bad.
Right. Right. Bad and very bad is exactly right. So on this map, do you know if there's one site that has in Missouri, is that the St. Westlake landfill or is that actually just a nuclear facility?
I don't have my computer in front of me.
Oh.
So what I posted were nuclear reactors.
Wow. So that does not now see that's the other issue here. This is what
it's
I found
the Cold War sites and other sites such as the Oak Ridge, where they have the Y-12, other sites, such as Hanford, Washington. Dear Lord. You know, we're a mess.
You know what the problem
is? We're a mess. If we stopped right now.
Right.
With contributing to the military-industrial complex and put all those funds and energies into cleanups.
That's the big business. This is what I've said. Like, I don't get why the people in charge don't comprehend the fact that they will become billionaires just attempting to remediate the garbage. I mean, that's kind of their win-win. It's the same philosophy I said about them, you know, destroying our food supply, destroying our water, and then forcing us to have health care for profit and shoving it down our throats. Somebody at that higher level makes a boatload of money. This is why a lot of people don't believe in the Constitution and don't believe in the government and don't believe that we ought to obey any of these laws, because it's really just a way to make profit off of people. It's a slave nation.
Frankly, I don't know how and why there's an existence of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Their predecessor was abolished, and the apple of the NRC hasn't fallen too far from the original tree. And you have the commissioners up there, and I think they at first instance, they need to be gotten rid of, and a secretary needs to be appointed, and that needs to be put part of a president's cabinet so they can feel the political pressure from the people.
Can I get a witness? You are dreaming, sister. Like, this is why we
oh,
have
no,
the
I'm not dreaming. I'm not dreaming at all.
You know why we have
hold it. Everything is contingent upon the people of this country. Whether they want to, you know, be complacent, if they want to be, apathetic towards all this, or if they're going to put on their grown-up panties and get out. Because if they give lip service that they care about their children and their grandchildren not yet seen, then do something. Otherwise, why the hell are you having children?
You know,
this is about the future generations.
It is about the future generation. And this is the thing, though, when we talk about the NRC, the new model of the NRC, the only reason they renamed it is because they messed up so bad. So what they did was looked at what we did. Let's figure out a way to make it legal, the bad thing, so we can cover it all up. They changed their language. When they started the NRC, they started the euphemisms. They started naming things different things. Look what they call the Westlake landfill, a subterranean blah, blah, blah. It's a fire. It is a fire.
Yes, well, you know, they did the same thing with respect to veterans. During World War One, those who suffered from combat, it was called shell shock.
Right.
And that carried through to World War Two. During Korea, it came out to battle fatigue. Vietnam, you know, where the veterans got spat on and kicked in the ass, it became post-traumatic stress syndrome. And more veterans were kicked to the curb with respect to getting qualified for any type of disability or medical care by the Veterans Administration. And I'll tell you, there's still a lot of things today that the Vietnam veteran that are given a hard way to go. They're still dealing with Agent Orange. Still fighting for that. And so, you know, you look at the NRC and you talk about, you know, their rise out of the pollution and corruption of the Atomic Energy Commission, their daddy. You know, that acronym, NRC, in reality stands for Nukem Regularly Commission.
That's actually true. That's what they're doing. I mean, if you look at what they've done, just look at this map that you posted. East of the Mississippi, there's these, it's color-coded, folks, just to let you know. If you look at it, there's dots on it. And there are like a handful of dots up in the northeast. They're all green. I don't know what the color means, but they listed with two. There's each one of these units, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Ten have two units, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 have three units in very few states, just in the upper northwest. All along the bottom, all in the south, we have two, three units, big, huge units. We have huge, all of the south is just a wasteland of nuclear waste. If, you know, like, honestly, these people, it's really psychotic, Patty. This is the thing. This is why, like, I think it's very important for everybody to just keep putting pressure on the NRC. Go to the NRC website, make comments. You know, how do we change the culture at the NRC? How do we get our, when you say get a thing appointed, what's the plan? How do we demand
that?
Well,
let me be a little bit facetious here. First of all, they're off their meds, okay? Because, really, it is. When you said psychotic, it is. It's a psychotic pattern of behavior that they have had. And, you know, they liken to the Thorazine for Lunch bunch that have been off their meds. They're continued with this mad mentality, and it's mutually assured destruction. They're heading, they're heading us. They're dragging us right with them. I'm sorry, I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's very scary. It's like what they're doing to the people in Japan, just pretending. I read an article that was written in a Japanese newspaper, translated in English, and they were saying people are being hysterical about Fukushima and people need to just get over it. The decontamination has happened, move back in. It's perfectly safe. Radiation doesn't, as it's proven in the last 5 years, radiation just does not cause that much harm.
Oh, really? Well, look at what the propaganda they came out with early on that they disseminated to the public. Now, let me preface this first. For decades, from when the Oak Ridge was created, they were studying the effects of radiation. I mean, they were even inducing the wives that were pregnant with plutonium,
right.
Okay, to see the effects to the unborn child. Okay, but they needed a larger group, you see. And so they were studying the workers for years. Dr. Mancuso and Dr. Alice Stewart were studying the workers for years. But, you know, what did this make up? What, how did this comprise with respect to the totality of the population? These were all men. So they really wanted to see what the effects would be on, you know, a total type population of the Americana. And so, you know, I kept wondering, why the hell did they situate a plant like Numec in Apollo, in the corporate confines of a town, in a valley with inversion?
Right.
Up against a major waterway, up against a major highway, feet. I mean, not kidding, a stone, literally, a stone throws distance away from people's homes, my home. And, you know, again, in a valley with inversion, with 124 stacks, that place wasn't even designed. It was a former steel mill that had absolutely, it had dirt floors and a wooden roof. So what do you do now? What's the methodology of the government when they want to do a study? It's either by design or by opportunity. Take your pick here. And what evidence really lends to this is that I actually have a document where the Atomic Energy Commission gave permission to the Numec plant in Apollo to run any and all of their 124 stacks 100 times over the legal limit for at least a year. Now, that's a 10,000% increase. The sum concentration of 124 stacks is absolutely, positively mind-boggling. And the doctors that were the doctors in the community were the doctors at the schools. And not only that, they were the doctors at the plant. The Atomic Energy Commission had an office within the agency. And that was the Office of Bio and Medicine.
Did all those people get sick that work there?
Yeah, the majority of them are dead.
Well, that's the point. Is like, you know,
the ones that work there. But you're not asking the correct question. What about the people in the town of Apollo that have lived here?
Yes,
there are very few. If we die in this area of something other than cancer, and, you know, and let me clarify this. Pennsylvania is one of the states that lists not only the immediate cause of death, which could be heart failure or whatever, but also the consequential, the secondary cause, which would be the main, because the heart failure is a consequential
of something
effect.
Else.
The main
right.
issue, which is cancer, and it's overwhelming. If you die of something else other than cancer here, therein is the anomaly.
Huh.
That's how bad it is.
Well, there are 9 nuclear reactors in Pennsylvania. There are 9 nuclear reactors in Pennsylvania. So
yeah, well,
what
Beaver
are you
Valley,
think you're doing?
Yeah, the Beaver Valley reactor has had its problems. I really think that the coastal reactors, I mean, they all need to be shut down. But the coastal reactors should be of a serious concern. They need to get a handle. They need to shut it down.
What action, if people are listening to this radio show, we have about 6 or 7 minutes left. What if we were to talk about what are the constructive things? You know, I discussed this with Donna Gilmore. She says use the NRC website, make the comments on the NRC, get to know the NRC regulators, contact your elected officials. What is your suggestion? Because it seems to me that we're facing just such a massive abuser that the only way they're going to stop is it when they hit the wall, when they drive the freaking car into the wall.
You know, let me answer this as quick as possible, but I have to tell you something. When I first got stationed in the Navy over in Italy, I after getting off the plane, I had taken a train to go to Sicily. And we weren't 2 hours on the train. I wasn't 2 hours on the train before the train had stopped. And I thought it was picking up, you know, some more passengers, a regular stop. And that stop became seriously delayed. I mean, it was several hours. And so I had asked one of the workers on the train, you know, what was going on, KCJ. And he replied, Sciabero, Sciabero, which meant strike. And I got up out of my compartment and I looked. Everybody who worked on that train left the train. People in their cars stopped their cars, husbands, wives, with their children. They started walking. Buses stopped. They started walking. People who had restaurants stopped working. Everything, airplanes on the tarmac, pilots, you know, and other, you know, the airline employees got out. It was a general strike. This is the one thing that crippled this country. We had too many unions. It was so broken up. And that's how come we got broken up. It is the same thing for how we fight the nuclear. We're broken up. And this is why I say somebody and the entities like the Union of Concerned Scientists, Physicians for Social Responsibility, I would like to put a challenge out to them to lead the people. We need a march. The people need to exercise their voice and that muscle, and that is based on constitutionality, every aspect of it.
I get you, Patty, but you know what? Like here, I will give you some experience. You know, I supported Kevin Blanch, who's a YouTuber, an anti-nuke activist. He has a radio show on this station, the Post-Ignorance Project. There were many people. He had several thousand followers. Every time we paid for him to go around the country and do his activism, people would write us emails and say, we'll be out there, we'll show up, we're going to be with you. He'd go out to somewhere and one person might show up, two people. Yeah. This is the pandemic. And now we have what's called the Homegrown Terrorist Act that says any strike that affects the major corporations of this country can be considered a terrorist act.
Okay. Now, what is that telling you? What is that telling you? Who is actually running
this
country?
Yes. And so this is why I say we need to work on our legislators to revoke, because really it's fundamentally, if we revoke the Unpatriot Act, the NDAA goes away, and so does the Homegrown Terrorist Act. That's the foundation for it. But clicking their heels and saying Sieg Heil to the military.
Well, the next step to that, I was against it years ago. And now I am totally for it, and that is term limits, because, you know, no one should have the power that the Congress has. No one. And they have basically absolute power. And it matters not who's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They continuously block. And so, you know, one's last resort are executive issues that are made. And those can just be rescinded. So, yes, term limits, you know, because our Congress is kissing, our Congress has been, and they are, kissing tyranny.
Yes,
and
they are. They are refusing
to understand that until it's gone.
It's true. They are. My own Senator Ron Wyden has already. We haven't had our elections here in Oregon yet on the primaries. He's already promised his superdelegates to Hillary Clinton, regardless of what the people of this state want. He's already made that pledge.
You know
how sweet of them.
you know, when you really look at this, you look at the Electoral College. You look at these. And now you got super delegates. Okay, hey, put a cape on. You know what?
This election has pulled the curtain back on the fact.
What is that exactly doing? Okay, to what the meaning is? What our vote actually means? No, you better wake up, America. Better wake up.
Yeah, we need to actively get engaged. We have less than a minute left, Patty. I want to thank you, and thank you for hanging in there while we had these little bit of technical difficulties. I personally am not deterred by elements of the fascism that intends to intimidate us. So I appreciate your determinism and your, you know, forthrightness. It's been a great conversation. Thank you for joining me today. This has been
you're so welcome.
Awesome.
And, you know, the first thing is I appreciate, like I said, what you do, what Levy Halevy do, does, and you know, everybody else, what they do in order to get this information out to the public, okay? Because forewarned is forearmed. We have to have this knowledge out there.
We have about 5 seconds left. Put your courage feet on. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you Monday, you guys. Thanks.
Be well, everybody.